In the great tradition of non-binary people, I named myself after an inanimate object. Antimony, or antimony, as the chemists say. It's a type of rock. It's a type of metal. Antimony is the 51st element of the periodic table. It looks like what you imagine metal to look like. It's grey. It's dull. It's kind of useful. It's not super useful. And you definitely shouldn't eat it. But those aren't the reasons that I named myself Antimony. Antimony was actually my third go at changing my legal name. No, I'm not on the run from a ring of easily outwitted assassins, nor have I collected a dozen dubiously mortal husbands. I've actually hit the maximum number of legal name changes, for a really boring reason. I just didn't know what to name myself for a really long time. My first name was a gift from my parents. It was a three-word phrase comprising an Australian landmark, homage to my grandmother, and, of course, my father's lineage. Wanting to take ownership of myself, but unsure of the kind of self that I wanted to own, I walked into the Department of Births, Deaths and Marriages at Collins Street at the age of 18, and I just made up a new name on the spot, based on my internet handle at the time. Very embarrassing. But like many people, the pandemic gave me a unique opportunity to sit around and think too much. And without the bustle of the constant bullshit of ordinary life, it just became impossible to ignore that I'm actually non-binary, turns out. So I was finishing my PhD during the pandemic, and at the same time, Victoria just rolled out its new name change rules for gender diverse people. And so I decided to take the opportunity to doctor my own records before being doctored myself. And that time, I tried to cram in too much meaning, and I gave myself way too many middle names. And then a year later, I was just tired of sounding like a crowd, and so I changed it again, and I made it shorter. Coming up with a brief melodic phrase that just perfectly describes your past, present and future self, pleases your family, but also doesn't abbreviate into an embarrassing acronym. It's just daunting. It's very stressful. Here's how I finally did it. Deciding on Antimony, the name, was relatively easy. I came across it in a Terry Pratchett book. I think it was the one about the postman, where there was a greengrocer writing to his lover about cabbages. It was just a minor character. It was only in the book for like two pages, but I really liked that I knew how to pronounce antimony, even though I'd never seen the word before. And I just thought it was a very beautiful sounding word. And I liked that it was androgynous, but also it still sounds very namey. Like it sounds like a name, even though it isn't a name. It's a type of metal. And when I introduce myself, it has the advantage of revealing all the geologists in the room. That's handy. My surname was a whole different thing. It was much harder to pin down. I spent months just researching concepts that were important to me. Nature, art, space, very broad categories of things with lots of words that could possibly be surnames. I looked up the origins of words. I got a Latin dictionary and looked up Latin translations. I looked up like antiquated spellings of things, alchemical definitions, like philosophical definitions. I researched my family history, very boring, my parents' birthplaces and the place that I grew up. And I just thought about everything that brought me to the place that I am now. And then eventually in an etymology dictionary, I came across deer, D-E-O-R, as it's an old English word. It's the predecessor of the word animal, like in the same way that the word girl used to be like the gender neutral word for child before narrowing into its modern meaning. Deer was the general word for animal before narrowing in its meaning into like deer, the cute thing with hooves. And so it was short. I liked it. It sounded like kind of namey. And it also implied that my family was the whole history of life on Earth. And crucially, it wasn't the name of a tech startup or a swear word in another language. So last week, I put the call out for you to tell me the story of your names. And we'll listen to some of those before getting into a song.
Hello, this is Katie. Apparently the way I chose my name is quite uncommon, but I think the reasoning is sound. It seemed to me that there are already so many advantages to being trans, being brilliant and beautiful, irresistibly attractive, socially influential, effortlessly talented at any form of athletic activity, and so on. I haven't tested all of these, but I have it on good authority. So it seemed rather unfair to also go parading about with a sublimely beautiful and perfectly fitting name. Most people tend to stick with the one they were stamped with at the factory, which explains why, among people of my age, there are so many Michaels and Andrews and Sharons and Angelas. And one day I was just going about my business when the name Katie popped in my head, and I thought, I hate it. It doesn't suit me at all. It's perfect.
I'm Iris Diane, unchanged since birth, but I chose to keep it because my first name means rainbow, and my middle name is a minor Greek goddess who travels by rainbow. Both unintentional on my parents' part, but it fits so well I didn't want to change it. The other major factors are I'm published under this name, scientific papers, and I hate paperwork. So I am legally male, and I'm a non-binary trans-mask guy who's been on T for a decade, and I kind of revel in the fact that it makes people confused and occasionally worse. There's nothing they can do about it. I basically go, sounds like your assumptions are wrong. Maybe you should update them.
Hello, I'm Kestrel Guyon. Growing up, I fell in love with a book called A Kestrel for a Knave. It's all about a boy who doesn't fit in, who's constantly underestimated by the world. And I really related to that boy. And a few years later, I got the chance to meet a kestrel, the bird that the boy in the book met. And I just felt such a huge love towards this majestic creature. I kind of decided there and then that I'd one day love to change my first name to Kestrel, because it's such a cool bird. As time went on, I developed an even greater love of birds and of nature, and I learned all about Gaia, the spirit of the planet. I realized that there were two interesting perspectives there, sort of the birds that circle above us and the ground that lives below us. Humans are just sort of in the middle of all of this life, unable to really comprehend that there are worlds we don't ever really exist in. So I guess my name became a bit of a reminder of that. My first name, Kestrel, the calm, majestic observer. And then my last name, Guyon, that constantly moving, living, breathing world beneath our feet. And I guess I just saw it as an opportunity for life to exist in the middle of all of that and shaping the world between these bits of existence. Does that make me a bit of a hippie? I kind of hope it does. But that's the story of my name and how I chose to be Kestrel Guyon.
I decided to keep my name because I used to hate it growing up, and in particular because I grew up in Queensland and it was a very Chinese name, so I experienced a bit of racism and just a bit of that common thing about it, and so I didn't like it. And then so as I grew up, I kind of grew into liking my name, and I like that it has a hyphen. And so I guess after transitioning, I still like my name because it's a Chinese name that is gender neutral. So I don't know what everyone else in Australia with the same name, and if I've Googled it, it comes up with men or women or different things. So I kind of have grown into my name. Yeah.
Hi, my name's Madison, and originally my name was Warwick. I wanted something that's sort of a bit upstanding. As in, good evening, my name is Warwick. And I wanted something very similar, as in, oh, good evening, my name is Madison. Yeah, for instance, which is what I ended up with. So, but I found it hard to come up with a decision. So what I did is I got a spreadsheet, I copied and pasted from a website of gender-neutral names into that spreadsheet, and I just kept picking out names until probably about half an hour later, I was left with three names. I can't remember what the third one was, but the second one was Waverly, and then there was also, the first one was Madison. And I could have picked any of those three, and in the end I just decided that Madison was more me than Waverly. You know, I just kept picking out names that weren't me. That's not me, I don't think that's me, etc., etc., until I was left with ones that did sound like me, and then I just kept picking the ones that didn't quite sound like me compared to the ones next to them, until I was left with those three, and I picked Madison.
Centrelink made a decision you disagree with. Most Centrelink decisions can be appealed up to three times. Examples of decisions you can appeal include whether you're eligible for a payment, cancellation or suspension of your payment, how much you get paid, and Centrelink debts. One of the most common Centrelink decisions appealed are Centrelink debts. Centrelink will say you owe a debt if the staff determine you've been paid more than you should have. Debts can occur for a variety of reasons. In some instances, if there's been an administrative error or if you have special circumstances, you may not have to repay that debt. The appeal process is free, but time limits can apply and will affect your entitlement to back payment. Social Security Rights Victoria is a specialist community legal centre providing Victorians free advice to help you understand your Centrelink issues and the appeal processes. You can contact Social Security Rights Victoria on 9481 0355 or online at ssrv.org.au. The Federation of Community Legal Centres is a 3CR supporter.
Hello, this is Chloe Allison Escott of the Native Cats, and you are listening very closely, I hope, to 3CR.
Okay, so I came out as trans in 2013. I realized I was non-binary. I struggled for a lot of years to come up with a name for myself, and as I got involved with learning a lot about Latin American liberation struggles and realizing my Puerto Rican heritage, I realized that I should call myself Rico in honor of my homeland. Yeah, that's my story.
I think it took me about 18 years to pick a name, the name that I have now, that's quite comfortable. I feel very, very comfortable with it. More comfortable than all the other names. Felt like I was putting on a costume. I went by for quite a few different names, family nicknames, my middle name, and, you know, my given name. This name feels like me, like I just feel like myself. It's a very generic name, but it's not generic for someone who looks and sounds like me to be called James, and I like the juxtaposition of that. I don't really know why I love it so much, but it just feels really comfortable.
Hi, I chose my name. Basically, it was the first intuitive name and middle name that came into my head when, after I found out the truth about trans in 1995 and realised that was who I was, I joined Seahorse Club of Victoria and they asked for fem name you wish to use, and I hadn't even thought about it, so I went with the first name that came into my head, and I've never really questioned it since, so I'm really happy that I listened to my heart. And have a great trans day of audibility, visibility, and trans awesomeness. Bye.
Hey, I'm Sarah. I'm a trans woman who's been transitioning for the last 6 months or so, but it's something I've been thinking of for the last 20, 25 years, and finally got the nudge to actually take the dive. So the way I found my name, the name I settled on was one that I was thinking about all along. But when I started transitioning, I had a short list of like two or three names that I thought might be mine. Because then this transition moved from being a thing that I think I might want, that might be something I do might do someday, finally turned into, no, this is something I need, this is something I want. I broadened the search. I was looking at all sorts of name lists, you know, popular names from my birth year, Greek mythological names, all sorts of stuff like that, and ended up with a spreadsheet of like 600 names. From those, I sort of culled it down to 50 or 60 that I wanted to actively try out in person. And I'd just go coffee place to coffee place, you know, two or three coffees a day, go out and try a new name in each one, which is honestly a little frustrating along the way. You'd go and try out a name and either they wouldn't ask you for a name or they'd call out the wrong name. It's like, did I screw up the way I said it? Did they just not hear me properly? Is it the name itself? So, you know, a few attempts, but ultimately I settled on Sarah. So Sarah's the name of a primary school friend that I had who, she was never gender conforming, always sort of shaking the norms. So I guess she was one of my sort of earliest gender inspirations. I don't know whether, you know, transition something she's ever thought about or looked at herself, but the way she sort of represented that ideal of just doing what you want, doing what you feel like, that really resonated with me, and it's a name that's just kept coming back time and time after time.
So my name is Tilde, T-I-L-D-E, and I chose this name because of the symbol that's on the keyboard next to the one, kind of the squiggly one. Sometimes it gets used to represent a sound wave in some programming languages. Sometimes it is used to represent the home directory, like in a Unix operating system. And I like that idea of my transition being a coming home to my actual self and my actual identity. It's also homophonic with Tilda Swinton's first name, and I like that. And people use that Tilda symbol to kind of refer to like an approximation, and I like that because I'm not the most precise person on earth. I like to be approximate and not have to be too definite about things, so I like having a built-in excuse in my name. These are the reasons I am named Tilda.
Are you normal? Do you want to be? Let's talk about normal names like John and Jane and Murgatroyd and things like that. Let's talk about how to decide on a new normal name for you. First, break it down into the requirements. Do you want a long name or do you want a short name? Is cadence important to you? there's this radio show on Radio National hosted by this person called Sana Qadar, and it took me a year to figure out that her name is Sana Qadar because her name flows really nicely. Do you want your name to flow nicely with a surname, like da-da-da-da-da-da? Or is it more important that the words themselves are meaningful to you? If cadence is important to you, maybe there's a certain number of syllables or emphasis or a first letter that would go well with your surname. By figuring these out, we can narrow down the list from all the possible names in the whole entire world to something like two-syllable words with an emphasis on the first syllable that starts with T. But maybe meaning is more important to you, and there's a vibe that you want to convey. Maybe that you like nature. Maybe you're a practical person. Maybe that you're a gentleman. Maybe you're an average person of a certain age. Do you want this meaning to be literal, like the name Mark for a writer or the name Cliff for a rock climber? Or do you want it to be a little bit more subtle? Are there any names that you really hate? Why do you really hate them? Maybe you can rule out a few names that way. And is there a name that you secretly really like that you think that you're not cool enough to pull off? I can assure you that you definitely are cool enough to pull off that name. A pretty classic thing to do is to look up a list of popular names for your birth year. Maybe you can join the great army of Jennies or become one with the unending ocean of Davids. Speaking of which, did your parents have an alternate name picked out for you before you were assigned at birth? If I was assigned male at birth, my parents were going to call me Godfrey after their priest, so thank goodness I didn't turn out to be masculine. Oh, that would be very embarrassing. But maybe your family are cooler than mine, and you would like to place yourself within this extremely cool lineage of excellent people, and I bet you that you have a really badass great aunt. Or maybe you have a grandfather that you want to honour. Perhaps your siblings are all named after flowers, or maybe their names all have the same number of syllables. You can also work backwards from the future as well. Did you have a name in mind for your future children? Can you be your own future child? Most of us have an area that, or a place that we feel connected to. Does your family come from a particular region? What are the common names in that tiny town in Switzerland that your great-grandfather came on? But maybe you also arrived in Sydney when you came to Australia. Or maybe your family took holidays to the Kimberley. Maybe you've always loved swimming amongst the coral. It doesn't have to be a geographic area either. Maybe your area is medicine and you admire Ignaz Semmelweis. Or your area is music and you follow in the footsteps of Klaus Nomi. In previous times, if you wanted to name yourself in honour of another person, then you add an I after their name, and that's how the escape artist Houdini got his name, because he admired the magician Houdin and named himself after him. Perhaps you don't want to be limited to biblically accurate names, but you're open to any sound that the human mouth can create. This is easier and it's also harder than just thinking up a name like Matthew, Mark, Luke or John. You don't have to wade through thousands of years of human history just to find a funny word that means you. You can make up your own funny word right now. If you're a person that doesn't like boxes, this can be really liberating. Actually, box is a really cool name, isn't it? Box. You could spell it B-O-C-K-S or B-O-X-S-X or B-H-O-Q-U-E-S, maybe with some accents over the letters. That'd be cool. It's a cool name for a non-binary person. So we're going to have to find out some other ways to narrow all the options down. Apart from cadence, history, connection, family, all of that fun stuff, think about a concept that's really meaningful to you. Maybe it's art. Maybe it's chocolate. Is it haberdashery? There must be something that's been consistent throughout your life. What would you like to be the central theme of yourself? For me, the most important thing was beauty. And the second most important thing was communicating the idea that I'm a kind of animal, an indivisible part of the universe. At the time I changed my name, I was taking a lot of ketamine for depression and I was reading a lot of Spinoza. So I was really feeling the kind of panpsychism. I wanted to have a name that sounded nice because I care a lot about aesthetics, but I also wanted to be unspecific. I'm non-binary, I'm middle-aged, I'm a very average height, I'm in between jobs. I'm an extremely general kind of person. I didn't want a name that implied a generation or a gender or a class or an ethnicity, and rocks are about as basic as you can get. If you're into community and all of that, then use it. ask friends for their opinion, organise a vote, do a sausage sizzle. You can ask them what they think your name should be, or you can just ask them what concepts they think describe you or concepts that are important to you. Another thing that you can do is those online name generators that fanfiction writers use for making up names. You probably won't end up calling yourself Jizz Nozzle Bang Slammer, but it'll help you think about what you do like and what you don't like in a name, and that'll help narrow things down as well. Affixes can be a really fun way to play around with words and make them kind of namey. Like adding Y to the ends of words makes them more feminine, and it also makes them into an adjective. It suggests that you're similar to that thing, like ferny or fiery. Adding an S to words makes them into a plural or a possessive. And it also kind of turns it more into a concept than a specific object, like ferns or fires. Think about whether you want a meaning to be obvious or a little bit oblique. So let's say that you want a name that relates to a wetland, because you're a wetland kind of person. We could go with moss, which is cute, or a step away from that would be peaty, because wetlands contain peat. Or you can go all the way down the Wikipedia rabbit hole and end up with joklamis, which I just found out researching this show is an Icelandic word for glacier mice, which is a kind of like little small round fluffy little blob of moss, and they live on the glaciers and they move like an inch a day. They live in little groups, like little herds of little green blobs, and they roll around the glaciers, and they're super cute. This is the kind of cool thing that you can find out when you're looking for names. So after figuring out some contenders, then refine them. Think about how Australians are definitely going to shorten your name and put an O on the end. Think about how much you like administrative hassle. Names with apostrophes, hyphens, spaces, capital letters that aren't at the start, they're going to cause you a lot of headaches, but maybe it's worth it. Maybe it's worth it for your super cool name. If you have an unusual name, people will constantly remark on it. They will find it hard to deal with. They will try and shorten it. They will try and give you nicknames. You will have to explain the origin of it at least once a week. Maybe you love talking to strangers, and if you do, make your name as weird as possible. But to test out your new name, ask some nice friends to call you by your new name for a week. This is how I find out that I don't really like the name Kit. It just sounded too short. And if someone's calling me out, I really want as much thinking time as possible, so I needed a long name. Try filling out some forms with your new name as well. This is how I found out that having more than one middle name is just a huge pain in the ass. And Google your new name. Maybe someone with that name has committed the crime. Maybe it's a really cool crime. And it's just a little small thing, but some workplaces abbreviate names, like the first letter of your first name, dot surname, or the other way around, which is not great if your name is like Desiderata Ildo or Maroney Clark. And while figuring out the perfect name can send you into a state of confusion, your state of birth is what really matters. Generally, you'll be applying for a name change in the state that issued your original birth certificate. To quote Tolstoy, fun, easy things are all alike, but every bullshit administrative process is bullshit in its own unique way. Arguably, Victoria has the easiest process because you can apply for a change of name and a change of sex at the same time, and you can define your gender however you like, but you have to find and post in your original birth certificate or do a stat deck. Since most people get married at some point, and most women still change their name after marriage, notifying businesses of a name change is super normal, relatively painless, but it's really time consuming. You're going to spend a day on the phone. More than one time, I received congratulations about my wedding and got asked for the details about my wedding when I was trying to explain to like the water company that I was changing my name, and that I had to tell them that I hadn't met the handsome man of my dreams. I was becoming them. When you're telling the people that you know, that's probably going to be a bit awkward. You can write a social media post, you can announce it over dinner, or you can tell your people one by one, but people are uncomfortable with change, and they're going to inevitably ask if they can still use your old name, or they're going to make up a really bad new nickname for you. Only agree to this if you are really, truly, 100% comfortable. Otherwise, you're going to have to deal with that for the next 20 years. Be prepared for slip-ups and over-apologies, the same thing that happens with pronouns. The important thing to keep in mind is that you're just communicating a neutral fact. Your name is different now. It doesn't mean that you're rejecting them or that you're a new person entirely. All right, well, that's it for my show. Happy Trans Day of Thing. and continue to be trans and great. Bye.